Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan. You're not judging by God's standards, but by man's." With these words, he really throws down the gloves. He's actually going to come right after us. Now remember, he started off his entire gospel passage way at the very beginning of the gospel by saying, "Repent and believe the gospel." He didn't just say believe. You have to repent and believe. And you have to not just love, you have to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. So there's this notion of sacrifice, self-sacrifice, of being willing to bear the hardships of the gospel is essential to the gospel message. Otherwise, we're going to miss the whole thing. Well, today he says, you're not judging by God's standards, but by man's. Now he says this to Peter. Last week, he recognized Peter because he was the one who's going to be the rock on which he builds his church. We find that Peter's the one who's going to be given the keys of the kingdom. And now Peter tries to reject the cross. And Jesus says, "Get behind me, you Satan." In other words, this is essential stuff. This isn't just like, oh, it's a happy thought. No, it's really important. So what are God's standards? How are they different from man's standards? Well, man's standards, the greatest evil in the world is suffering. The greatest good is pleasure, power, and wealth. By God's standards, the greatest evil is sin, all the various forms of selfishness that lead up to it and flow from it. By God's standard, the greatest good is truth and love. It means doing things right, even if it hurts, doing what's best for others, even if it costs us personally. That's where the martyrs stood for Christ, even though they laid down their lives. It was that important that they give that witness to what is true and good in the midst of the opposition of the world. Again, Jesus will say the kingdom of God belongs to the violent, and the violent bear it away. He means those who do violence towards themselves, willing to deny themselves in order to be followers of Jesus. Again, this is a different way. St. Paul says it, "I chastise my body and bring it into submission, lest in preaching to others, I myself become a castaway." I chastise my body. He knew that despite the great revelations that he had had, having seen Jesus in vision and all the wonderful revelations, being taken up to the third heaven, he knew he was capable of sin, and his body was still weak. His desires were weak, so he says, "I chastise my body." That self-denial is critical to the gospel message, and sometimes we forget that. You see, you and I have a foot in each camp. Sometimes we think with the mind of Christ. Sometimes we think with the mind of the world. We have this little quiet bargain in our mind that says, if I'm good, go to church, say my prayers, nothing bad will ever happen to me. But Jesus never promised that. He says, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. In other words, there's a fallen world, not only the original sin, which wounds all of us, but the devils, the demons, are bent on human destruction and overturning the kingdom of God. There will be opposition to those who stand with what is good and true and beautiful. And so we have to expect that. Don't be surprised at it. It's part of the Christian life. One time I did a wedding, and the groom was and I were standing there near the sacristy, and his beautiful bride was in the back of the church, and the music was playing. We're getting ready to start the wedding. And he turns to me and he says, "I know I'm never going to have to suffer because I chose the right woman." I thought, whoa. That became the homily right there. Well, you see, what does it mean then if you do suffer, that you chose the wrong woman? No, it means there's two free wills coming together, and it's going to be a challenge to hold it together, and by God's grace, we can make it work. There's going to be challenges wherever we go. So the idea that if I'm a nice person, I can get through this world without suffering is a mistake. It's not gospel thinking. St. Paul takes up the same theme when he says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, your spiritual worship. Offer your bodies as a sacrifice. Imagine that. He knows the essence of religion is sacrifice. It's this worship of God, and what we offer is most precious to us. Obviously, it could include things like money or our pleasures, but at the core, it's my own will. I give my body over to the Lord. It's a sacrifice. So you find in Psalm number 40, it says, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, my God. Thy law is within my heart. Behold, I come to do thy will, O God. That's the sacrifice, giving ourselves over. And it's hard to do. It's a sacrifice to do so. And again, we find the scriptures, Jesus saying, this is the cup of my blood, the chalice of my blood. All of his love required sacrifice, and it will be the same for us. So a religion without sacrifice is going to be empty, mere emotion. It's not going to be substantial, not going to make real changes, won't make saints. We recognize here in our first reading, we hear those words, "You duped me, O Lord, and I let myself be duped. You were too strong for me." Well, what this passage here has to do with Jeremiah, he was in the Old Testament, he was the last great prophet before the Babylonian captivity, and he was sent by God to preach repentance to the people, and they didn't want to hear it. He called on them, and he says, you're dooming yourself, not only spiritually and personally, but even as a nation. You're going to be destroyed by the Babylonians unless you repent. And instead of hearing the word and saying, yeah, we better look at this, instead they put him in stocks. They put him in stocks. They locked him up to throw fruit at him. You know that sort of a thing when you're throwing tomatoes at people who are in stocks with their head and their arms? They put him in the stocks. They wanted to put him to death eventually. And he doesn't want to preach anymore. And so he says, I say to myself, I will not mention him. I will speak his name no more. And then it becomes like a fire burning in my heart, imprisoned in my bones. I grow weary holding it in. I cannot endure it. This man is a lover. He loves God with all of his heart. He knows his mission is to speak the word of God. And in spite of the opposition of the people, he must carry out the mission because the love of God burns like a fire in his heart. And that's the way all of us are invited to become saints like that, that we're so much in love with God that we would never back away from doing his will, speaking his word, calling people to what is good and true. St. Rose of Lima, she was one like this too, born in 1586 in Lima, Peru, South America. And we find here that she's met Jesus in prayer, great holy woman that she was. And she gives light about the cross. Our Lord and Savior lifted up his voice and said with incomparable majesty, "Let all men know that grace comes after tribulation. Let them know that without the burden of afflictions, it is impossible to reach the heights of grace. Let them know that the gifts of grace increase as the struggles increase. Let men take care not to stray and be deceived. This is the only true stairway to paradise. And without the cross, they can find no road to climb to heaven." See how essential the cross is for us? Not just for Jesus, but for us. And the hardships are part and parcel of the Christian life. Born well, they sanctify us. Without that, we just are ruined by sufferings. But with Christ, they become something noble and good and true. So watch out for a gospel without the cross. Watch out for any type of faith without the cross. A life without sacrifice is not a life well lived. So again, you and I are going to be invited to stand with Christ. And we're going to do that. First of all, the creed sets out our worldview. That's how we ought to think. The commandments establish how we ought to live, right behavior. And it means from there accepting our vocation. If you're a priest, be a good priest. If you're married, be a good spouse. All of these things are living out your vocation. Don't escape from your vocation. So again, there's going to be trials there, physical, emotional trials. Some people have physical wounds, others have emotional wounds. Sometimes you have a job that you hate. You have to endure it until you get a better job. Sometimes there's a sacrifice that's entailed to do the best thing. Sometimes it's giving up a new car so you can put your kids in a Catholic school. It won't be easy, but it'll be worth it. Sacrifices strengthen and purify us. Again, we have to overcome all of our faults and all of our vices, and we stand with Christ. One of the big challenges is saying no to your kids when you have to say no. Sometimes it'll be a big issue, like your kids getting married outside the church. You have to say, this isn't good. I can't attend that. If Christ can't bless the marriage, neither can I. And they're going to hate you for it. Sometimes your kids maybe take away permissions from them to do certain things, and they're going to say to you, I hate you. A friend of mine would always say, yeah, take a number. In other words, the list of those who hate me is long. But that's okay, because I stand with what is right. I do with what is right. Later on, they'll come around to see that that was the right answer. Right now, they don't see it. But right now, we stand with Christ no matter what. So, steel yourself. Toughen yourself to get ready for any hardships that might come. Stand with Christ. Don't make excuses. Don't make a mealy sort of a soft gospel that doesn't require anything hard. None of that stuff bears fruit. You and I stand with Christ. We stand with a cross. So again, we need to reevaluate our thinking. Whose standards do you judge by? God's or man's?